with me today. Two seniors, graduation looming this weekend. So you both are walking. Congratulations are in order.
Yes.
All right. Good. Yeah. Absolutely. That's what it's all about, right? You're a student and then an athlete. Asher, you're first on my cheat sheet here from the SID, Mike Prang. So you are obviously a senior from New Boston, Michigan. Can we talk about your journey that got you to Adrian College?
Yeah. I started running track in high school at Gabriel Richard. And, you know, I started running it originally as a sport just to get conditioning in for soccer. So, and then, you know, it turned into obviously my main sport. And Adrian reached out to me and I came and visited, and, you know, I just loved the campus and everything about it. So that's how I ended up here.
Well, you talk about as conditioning for a different sport and kind of equating that a little bit, D3 and Adrian College, in my experience too, it's a school where you can excel in athletics and academics, where maybe a larger school, you'd be kind of pushed toward the athletic side because maybe you're getting a scholarship or you're getting all these other things.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was one of the nice things I liked about it was the smaller school feel, a little bit more laid back. I feel like I could focus on my studies a bit more, but still have that sport that I've grown to love throughout high school.
That's right. And this season, you earned a second team All-MIAA indoor, the 60-meter hurdles, in 8.43 seconds. I don't know many people listening that could run that far in that amount of time. And just, I envy sports that I clearly can't do. And whenever I see hurdles on TV, it's just like, how do you get that mechanics down that's so smooth? And, you know, what? I mean, how did you get to that point? I mean, that's very impressive.
You know, I don't even really know myself. you know, it just took time and just working at it as I've gone. You know, I've eaten in on quite a bit of hurdles in my career. So it just is like, you know, coming, getting right back up after and just pushing harder to get to that point. And I think it was a really nice way for me to be able to end off my indoor season with taking that second place at indoor conference in the 60 hurdles.
And the conference, the MIAA, respected nationally, I believe.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. All right, we have other notes for you. We had to make some tweaks to this one. You did achieve a personal best in the 110-meter hurdles. That's a tall hurdle, 110 meters. Oh, no, it's distance. Yeah.
Still tall.
Hurdling joke. How tall are those things?
42 inches. So basically up to my chest.
You got to jump over that thing?
I do have to.
And it's not like you get a lot of space in between.
No. Nope, you get three steps in between.
Really?
Yes.
For 110 meters. And that was the Yellow Jacket Collegiate. That was in late March. I got a, is that a 16.5?
15.58. Yes.
Again, very impressive time. And it's hard in your career, it's kind of fitting to get a PR or PB, whatever you call it.
Yes.
In your senior season.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of, it's what you're building towards.
So we're working towards, and you know, that was a big jump for me in the 110s from what I had done before. And, you know, it just took time, but it was nice to see that show up in my final season.
So there's the 60 meter, 110, and then there's a 400 meter.
Mm-hmm.
400 meters is that? How many times is that around the track?
That's a full lap.
That's crazy. You're crazy for doing that.
Oh, I know. I say it to myself every
mean,
day.
Like, you look back when you're done, you're going, I jumped through all these hurdles.
Yeah.
One time around the track. I mean, that's great. And then, you know, 50th in the nation in that hurdles last season.
Yes.
And, you know, you talk about lofty goals for this season, right, after what you did last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the goal for this season has been, you know, nationals and the record at Adrian. We're not quite there. We've dealt with a couple setbacks, but we've still got some of the season left to go here with conferences coming up this weekend and then two more last chance meets. So I'm hoping to be able to get to that point by the end of the season and hopefully make it to nationals and break that record.
And we'll get to more national stock in a second. It says you've scored in every conference meet that you've competed in. Could you describe what that means to actually get a score in every meet?
Yeah, so in every meet, the top eight people go on the podium and score. So the way scoring works is it goes for first place, it's 10, second is 8, third is 6, and then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and down. So, you know, finishing top 8 in your event gets you a point.
Okay, so every conference meet.
Yeah.
Okay, then how many league meets are there, and then roughly how many outside of the conference?
So you run two conference meets a year. There's the indoor conference meet and then the outdoor conference meet.
Oh, that's it?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Yep, it all boils down to one meet at the end of the season.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Wow. Learn something new every day. So you had your indoor in the winter?
Yes,
spring,
around there.
And then now we're into outdoors right now? Mm-hmm. That's coming up this weekend up in Alma, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you need to qualify to run in those or jump in those events for your case?
Yeah, so the way it works for that is each team can enter four people in an event. And for relays, you can enter one. So it's limited to an extent, but you just put your best runners in it.
Okay, and then kind of last one for you now, and then we'll switch over to Cameron. I've learned a little bit about qualifying for nationals and talking with some track and field athletes and coaches. Basically, the team can get in, and there are obviously lofty standards for that, but you can qualify as an individual?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The main way you qualify is individual.
All right. And then that's all T3 across the whole country.
Yes.
You need to be in the top 22 at the end of your last race or last event.
The Sunday before nationals.
Okay. And then so you have – three more chances, including this weekend.
Yep.
You're obviously checking that. Are you close? Do you think it's within your reach? Or,
I wouldn't be considered close right now with my personal time of the season, but okay. I do think it's still within reach for me. I've been bouncing back from an injury throughout the season, and we've been working hard at getting me back to where I was at the beginning of the season, and I think this weekend I'll put down a really nice time to roll into the next two chances I have to really get myself over that hump and qualify.
Well, maybe Alma has a downhill track.
We could only hope.
Here comes speed, right? How many of these are you going to compete in the outdoor?
So in outdoor conference, I'll compete in the 110 hurdles, the 400-meter hurdles, the 4x1 relay, and the 4x4 relay.
Oh, so you're also in the
yes.
running sports. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. All right. Now we turn our attention. So, yes, you're off the hook for now. Nice job.
Thank you.
You'll get the text from your family. Give you the true analysis.
Yeah.
Cameron Overmeyer, he's a senior from Elmore, Ohio. And talking beforehand, that's Toledo area somewhat, kind of a smaller community.
Southeast of Toledo.
So, obviously, kind of close to Adrian.
Yep.
But if you could take me through your journey to get to Adrian College.
So I started track in junior high, so seventh grade, and I started pole vaulting because my dad had the high school record at the time. So I started pole vaulting, and my dream was to just beat his high school record and replace one Overmeyer with another. But unfortunately, my teammate broke it a couple years before me, which my dad got to coach, so it was still kind of cool to see him.
Yeah.
And my dad held that record for almost 30 years. So that was the whole reason I got into pole vaulting. Wrestling was kind of my main sport growing up, and eventually started getting more and more into track and field and pole vault. Started getting recruited for pole vault, and was kind of like, yeah, this is kind of what I want to do for the next 4 years. It was time to give up wrestling. And move on to the next chapter. And for me, that was pole vaulting here at Adrian.
Well, you talk about two different sports, one where you're all over the ground and one where you're high up in the air.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of a bit of a change, maybe training too, wrestling training is different than track and field.
Definitely, yep.
I feel wrestling is a lot of, I'm going to get some slack for saying it, but I think it's more upper body than lower body.
Yep.
You got to train both, obviously.
Yeah,
but
pole vault's a lot of everything, but mainly a lot of core strength.
Okay. And, well, obviously it's looking like the change helped. The All-MIAA at the Indoor Championships with the second place finish in the pole vault for you, and you're looking to defend the pole vault title in the Outdoor MIAA Championships. And talking off air, it's kind of like they're two completely different seasons.
Yep.
Indoor versus outdoor. I'm going to assume this answer, but I'll ask you the question anyway. Indoor pole vaulting easier than outdoor? I'm going to say yes, because You're not going to get any wind or anything like that.
So theoretically, yes, but I'd rather jump outside. I like outside because you're normally running with the wind at your back, so you get a little bit faster down the runway. So that's normally happens 9 times out of 10, but especially competing up here in Michigan, we're normally inside for 3/4 of the season.
Sure.
We're normally inside for 3/4 of the outdoor season. So we go to a lot of meets where they have indoor facilities where we're able to go and jump inside out of the weather.
Okay.
So it's really just an indoor part two for us until we get to the last couple meets of the season.
Nationals would be outdoors? Like no matter what?
Typically, yes. Okay. But outdoor nationals this year are in Cleveland. They're in at the Spire Institute. So it's Ohio weather. It's not much different from Michigan. So,
yeah. And, Cameron, looking at this has last year's number, 4.75 meters, 15 feet, 7 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And that is currently the second highest in school history. Is that kind of where you're close to or at this point in the season? Where's your jumping at?
I've definitely struggled a little bit indoor and outdoor this year.
Okay.
I jumped 460 a couple weeks back, which is 15.1. First time I've broken 15 foot since outdoor last year.
Okay.
So definitely coming over a big hurdle mentally because a lot of pole vault, it's 90% mental.
Okay.
And getting back over that point a couple weeks ago really helped bring confidence back into what I'm doing. And hopefully going to be able to go. I was knocked off indoor. So I have 3 gold medals indoor and 1 silver. And so hopefully going to go and get the 4th medal outdoor.
Now, people are listening to this, obviously. You're not the shortest guy. And I feel like shorter people might have an advantage over the lengthy people. Is that kind of true?
It really depends on the person. A lot of the people say the length and being tall helps in pole vault, but a lot of people say the smaller people are able to fly higher just because they got less mass to move.
Now, it's not like a literal, like, in watching it, it seems like they're holding onto the pole until the very last moment,
mm-hmm.
and then they're kind of pushing it off to the side. It's not really a jumping motion per se, is it?
Yeah, no, so you're kind of jumping, but a lot of it's letting the pole do the work,
okay.
and then getting your body into position, swinging up,
okay.
and being able to push off on the top end to get over the crossbar.
Okay. That's where the core comes
in.
That's where I would struggle. Let's be honest. I'd be struggling. So you got the outdoors coming up in Alma. Have you guys participated up there in Alma before? Kind of familiar with the layout?
No, this will be our first time running at Alma Outdoor.
Okay.
So it's something new. We'll see how it is.
Sometimes it's a good thing because when you go to a new place, when you go to an old place, you kind of play mental games with yourself about last year I did bad here, so what am I going to do this year? You're going to a new place, it gives you that fresh slate. You don't know what to expect, what the conditions are of the track and stuff like that. So it gives you a fresh mind going into it, which is
a
good thing.
And Cameron, just to clarify, Your only event is pole vault, or you do other events?
I do the occasional 4x4 indoor.
They rolled me into the 4x4 sometimes.
It became a tradition a couple my freshman year, and it just kind of stuck. So
they just throw you at the anchor spot, put them at the 4,
and somewhere around there. Just kind of let me run.
Yeah. Nice. Well, guys, good to talk to you. Thanks for spending some time with us here at Frickers. Show got underway late, but a lot of good stuff. Congratulations on the season so far. 3 more chances to qualify.
Yep.
Let's upset some people and win the Star and MIAA this weekend, all right?
Of course.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. And once again, that was Asher Kuzinov and Cameron Overmeyer with the track and field team over at Adrian College. We're going to take a quick break. A couple other guys that have been waiting patiently. They got here about, Kedro got here closer to on time. Boyke, center fielders show up whenever they want. So we'll talk a couple of Bulldog baseball players when we come back here on the ACL Access Show, 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Cheer on the Bulldogs softball team during their doubleheaders Thursday at 5 and 7 p.m. and Saturday at 1 and 3, or the Bulldog baseball team Friday at 3 and 5.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit adrianbulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Cheer on the Bulldogs softball team during their doubleheaders Thursday at 5 and 7 p.m. and Saturday at 1 and 3, or the Bulldog baseball team Friday at 3 and 5.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit adrianbulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Welcome back to the AC All Access Show on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com. I'm Ian Wett, Stacy Mitchell, alongside our sales manager over at the station. We have Josiah Durrell with Adrian College TV. He's over there somewhere. You're going to see clips of these student-athletes and maybe Coach Greeny on their social media at some point this week. So you can catch some of the cool clips from the show. We also save the entire program on our website. That's 965thecave.com. We just finished a conversation with Asher Kuzinel and Cameron Overmeyer with Track and Field. We have Brent Greenwood coming up in a little bit. He is the golf coach at Adrian College. But now, a team that some of you may or may not have heard sometimes on 965 The Cave, the Adrian College baseball team. We have two joining us, Jack Boyke, David Kedrow, center fielder, catcher for the Bulldog program. Boyke, a junior from Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, and Kedrow, David, a senior from Macomb, Michigan. We get nicknames, right? Nicknames happen. Yeah. Part of the sport. Good to have both of you on. Talking with Mike Prang today, I was like, you know what I'd like to talk to? These two. And here you are. First off, we were just talking off air, and I was like, okay, did you guys win the MIAA regular season? Because it didn't really look like it when you guys were getting off the field after sweeping Hope, getting the number one seed in the MIAA tournament. I know that's one of many checklist items that your team has for the season. So we'll go left to right. So, David, we'll start with you, being the catcher for this team and not only catching, doing what you're doing at the plate. Your coach has raved about you when he's been on the show with us. And, what's it? In perspective, I know this team has done a lot more than win the regular season, but you need to appreciate it, right? I mean, this is something the team appreciates.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, the first goal that we have is to win the regular season, but that's not the ultimate goal. That's something that comes along with the territory of getting to where we need to be. So at the end of the day, our goal is to win the regular season, win the conference, win the regional, mate for the World Series, win the World Series. If that's not your goal, then you're selling yourself short. So just it's the first step of many.
Right. It helps accomplish the other things if
yes.
you do step one.
Yep.
Right. Step two can't happen if you don't take care of step
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
So in your senior season, we'll just go back to the basics. What brought you to Adrian College? Was it just all the winning this program did, or what was it?
Yeah, I mean, just seeing stuff online, like Adrian College Baseball makes it to the World Series, Adrian College Baseball wins their 10th straight MIAA championship, just being part of a program with the tradition that this program has, the tradition of winning, and, all conference guys, all region guys, all Americans, just seeing all that and knowing the tradition that this program has was a big part of it, for sure.
And did you know that Gunner was going to be on the staff? Like, when you, well, like, where was that at when?
So I came in the year after Gunner graduated. So okay. My freshman season, he was around, but he wasn't fully part of the staff. Okay. He was still at the field. He would take batting practice with us occasionally, but he wasn't a coach until my sophomore year.
Okay. Yep. I say Gunner Rainey.
Yep.
Coach Rainey's son. Pretty good catcher yep. back in his day for Adrian College. So season 348 hitter in 35 games, team high 48 hits, 39 runs scored, 45 RBIs, 7 doubles, 4 homers, and 8 steals. Is that the number you're most proud of? This was 8 steals?
Honestly, I did not know I had 8 steals. It's, I mean, you hear catcher, you don't think of somebody runs the bases, and I think that kind of helps me in that sense. They don't expect you to run.
The unexpected, exactly. Yeah. And then defensively, 18 out of 20, caught stealing. That doesn't look like they try to run a lot either.
No.
You know? And I'll lob a question to you. This is where you say, Ian, if a big part of it is the pitcher is keeping the runners back in first base, right? Keeping them honest?
Yeah, of course,
right?
Yeah.
Shorten that lead as much as they can?
Yeah.
With baseball changing, softball too, the pitch com is something kind of new, not for your team. How is that utilized? Like, you really don't call a game necessarily, do you?
So last year we were on the pitch com watches all year, and we started this year on the watches, but we decided to go back to old school.
Oh.
Gunner gives me the signs and an earpiece. And so he tells me when pitchers come, and I throw down a sign to the pitcher. But lately, he's been calling for the starters, and when guy comes out of the bullpen, I've been calling my own game, which I really like because it keeps me focused on what the hitters are doing and just keeps me mentally in the game.
I have to ask why. Why the changes?
We got pitchers who they love to work in rhythm. They want to get the ball, step on the mound, throw. They don't want to waste time. They want to get into their windup, and they want to.
You're telling me Gunner's too slow.
I guess so. Yeah.
Get him in quicker.
Sometimes the watches take a while, and you got to sit there and look at your wrist, and that becomes it. Kind of gets you out of your rhythm, and especially now with the pitch clock.
Sure.
Yeah.
One more, then we'll go to Jack, who's waiting patiently. Good numbers defensively and offensively. If you had to pick, catching a game or doing well at the plate?
Wow.
Next to the plate or behind the plate?
So I love hitting. I love, like, being able to produce runs for my team. But I feel like defensively, if the catcher's not on, then that kind of throws everything out of whack. So if I had to pick, they're both great options.
Well, of course,
If I had to pick, I would say defensively.
It's a perfect answer.
Yeah.
It's like coaches listening or something. all right, so moving over to Jack. You are a center fielder in kind of a crowded outfield at times, right? The few games I've watched, it's kind of been somewhat of a rotational thing, and that's a good problem to have, right? You got a lot of guys that are fighting for playing time. What's that been like this year?
It's been good. We're all supportive in the outfield, so whoever's doing well, whoever has a hot stick, you know, give them a chance. And if they're doing well, you know, as long as we're winning games, we honestly don't really care. So,
two guys that last year got a little time and would pinch hit here and there. I've seen get some starts and get some good time. Lincoln Hayward, shout out to him, hit a home run the other day. Whatever, was that Saturday? Game 2 Saturday.
Yep.
Thing was out here in a second. And then Jackson McGuigan playing time out there too. So, I mean, and you got Easter Rogers, you got Joe Castell who's still there, you in center. But kind of like you said, it's a healthy competition. And, like, if you're good enough to play and you're both good enough to play, coach will find time, right? And it's this is your spot. And then if you lose it, you'll never play again.
Right. It's a good problem to have a lot of good arms, a lot of good a lot of good bats, that kind of thing.
Your numbers this year, 255 in 33 games, 26 hits, 20 runs scored, 3 doubles, a triple, and 2 home runs. Where's that? You don't look like a home run guy.
You know, I got a little juice, maybe a little wind in the back,
a little
too.
Short port somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. 12 RBIs this year and 4 steals.
Not as good as Dave.
Come on.
Rookie numbers.
Did they flip these? Are they sure that's right? Did Frank make a mistake in here? But typically, and correct me if I'm wrong, games I've called, they put you at the bottom of the lineup to kind of turn things over, right? So you'll bat 9, get some speed on base, and then top of the order. That's an important job in a lineup, right? Could you talk about that, Jack?
Yeah, hitting in front of Cam and Bruder, it's nice getting on base, and then knowing you'll have guys that'll move you over, they'll score them, and then also setting up Cam and Bruder at the top of the order, so guys in first and second, lay one down, or hit and run, move a guy over the right side, so a bunch of jobs at the bottom of the order.
Can you help me with the last name? You're saying Cameron, is it?
Cameron Oliver.
Oliver, that's a guy. I don't know how much time he got last year, but he's come into his own this season.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. He's a scrappy leadoff hitter, and he's awesome. He's a fighter.
Yeah.
He's a gamer.
No doubt. He seems like an energy guy, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like a dugout guy. Like, he'll...
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah. Again, talking with Jack Boyke and David Kedger with the Bulldog baseball team here on the ACL Access Show. Jack, this season, you're 23-13, 15-3 in conference play, so we can do the math. Out of conference, early season, tough, right? Took some losses, but you got some wins. Basically put you in a spot where you are now where it's like, okay, we have to win the league. I don't think we're going to get in that large. I don't know. Maybe that's changed. But, you've had ups and downs, but you're currently on an up. And we're closer to the end of the season than the beginning. Could you kind of talk about the growth of this team? It's like the prototypical, we started slow, trying to figure out who we are, and now we know.
Right. We started the year with high expectations. We started, I think, ranked 18th in the country. So I think we kind of like came out with like a lot of pressure on ourselves. And I think as the season's gone on, it's more when we're relaxed, when we're having fun, that's when we play our best ball. And so we've been playing that as of late and into the conference tournament. So that'll be important.
Do you think maybe it was just natural that there'd be a letdown because last year ended so high? Like, the only thing that would have kept you feeling that way is just running the table kind of thing, like crazy expectations, as you said.
Right. Yeah. I think it was a natural thing to happen. Like, early in the year, a lot of guys, want to play, want to contribute. And then there's kind of like a finding a role kind of growth that the team had. And once we find our roles and once we, hit the ground running, then we're unbeatable,
We don't have a pitcher here. So maybe this question should go to David. Your rotation and your bullpen has dealt with some injury this season. And talking with your coach, it's like, okay, we got to battle through, find a way, get some innings out of guys. And that may have been a partial contributor to the start you guys have had. And, as your staff gets healthy, then your record got a little bit better. But in overall, kind of a younger pitching staff, right? I mean, last year you guys were young.
Yeah.
I mean, you're throwing freshmen, and then I check the roster. Okay, here's another freshman. Oh, and then he's going with another freshman. Ooh, and an older person, and he's a sophomore. Wow, there's some experience. So what's it like catching for a relatively younger group of pitchers?
It's sometimes it can be challenging just because, they obviously have nerves. They haven't been around the kind of conference play atmosphere yet. And so just kind of talking to them, saying like, hey, control what you can control. Like, if they beat your best, so be it. Just challenge them. See how far they can hit it type thing. But it's been great just being able to watch all them grow and seeing people get their first wins, first saves, first stuff like that is awesome.
Do you think it helps that they have a coach with 30-plus years experience?
Yeah, I mean Skip's good at just saying the right thing sometimes to, if you're struggling on the mound, he'll come out and say, listen, we're up 8, throw strikes, and then, you know, strike out the next guy, and he looks like a genius.
Is he? I think we're getting too into the weeds here. Is he? Will he go up and crack a joke, or is he Mr. Serious? Or
he?
It depends on the day.
Every once in a while, he'll crack a joke, but for the most part, he's super serious.
Okay.
I think my favorite story was 2 weeks ago, Kalamazoo, eighth inning. He comes up. He goes, "Eddie, you're gonna throw a strike here. This guy's gonna run. Kenny's gonna throw him out." And he walked off the mound with a straight face, and I did it. And I came back in the dugout, and he said, "I told you."
So he knew the guy was running.
He knew for sure, and he said it with the most serious look on his face, and he was dead right.
That's crazy. That's only happened a handful of times, probably in the history of radio too, where they'll say, "Hey, they need a ground ball here." Guy hits a ground ball.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. So when you've been around long enough,
yeah,
it's going to happen.
You know baseball a little bit, yeah.
You do. All right, Jack, wrapping up the one seed. You do have a series against, I consider a rival, Albion. They're close by, old school, like two of the one of the oldest rivalries in college, really, Adrian and Albion. Important to just keep the momentum going, right? Can't let off because you got the tournament coming up.
Right, yeah. Got a couple tune-up games, then we also have a senior night, so it'll be good to see all the seniors pitch and play and support the guys like that. So I think it's good we got the one seed so we can see everybody play and get a chance.
Aside from David, trying to think of other – I mean, you got R.D., Ryan Davis. How many other – oh, you got Rogers in the outfield.
Link.
Link's in the outfield. How many others? I mean, not too many.
Seniors?
Yeah.
I think we have a lot this year.
Oh, you do?
Like 13 or 14.
Oh.
Who else we got?
Got
mostly out of the pen then, or starters?
We got a few guys out of the pen. Then we got like Gus Weeks, and then a lot of guys out of the pen, yeah.
So it'll be
Joe Casale, obviously.
That's right, Joe. Yeah. Get there early? You do the stuff early or after the game? Do you know yet?
I don't know. Probably in between games, maybe in the doubleheader.
Okay. All right. So you guys are, let's see, you're home for two on Friday.
Correct.
So normally it's a Friday, Saturday, bump it up to Thursday at Albion, Friday at home.
Mm-hmm.
Doubleheader, I'm going to guess 1-4.
I heard 3-6, maybe.
3-6. All right. AdrianBulldogs.com.
Really?
Just go there. You can find it. AdrianBulldogs.com. Hey, you need to know when this is.
right?
You can't be late.
No.
You could be early. That wouldn't hurt. Speaking of where you're going to be for senior day, do you appreciate Nicolay Field and, like, you know, we go there often. It's in our backyard. We see it, like, it's nice. But, like, you travel around and you go, Nicolay will work. This is a really nice park. And, you know, we'll go to David being the senior. You've looked at it more than Jack statistically. Just playing in that park and, you know, being there.
Yeah, I mean, going to other schools throughout the MIAA, they're nice, but they don't compare to what we have here. And just kind of as I'm coming to the end here, it's my time as an Adrian College baseball player. Just it hasn't really hit me yet that, like, wow, this could be the last game I ever play on this field, but I'm sure it will soon. And
well, we're hoping it's an MIAA championship.
Yes, that'd be
right?
A good way to go out.
It's a hoist
sure.
The trophy.
Yeah.
Right. Jack, same thing. I mean, you've run around on quite a bit more than David. Not stealing bases this year, unfortunately, but like roaming the outfield and things like that.
Oh, yeah. I love the turf. I think that's one of the main reasons I came here. It was just the turf is just such a nice playing surface, and it's a blessing to have it, for sure.
Interesting, like all the habits you have as a baseball player, kicking dirt in the batter's box, and there's no dirt. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if you're a pitcher, you're not – digging a hole, like it's right there. It's interesting. It's a very cool place to be. So Friday, they're playing Albion. Find the time, AdrianBulldogs.com. I don't have the time to look it up. And then hosting the MIAA tournament, AdrianBulldogs.com for all that information. Jack, David, good to catch up, and we'll see you around.
Yep, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right, absolutely. Once again, Jack Boyke and David Kedro with the Adrian College baseball team right here on the ACL Access Show. Coming up, after these messages, we're going to go golfing. That may bring up some bad memories for people. Maybe you hit one in the lake. Maybe you hit another one in the bunker. a guy that can teach you how to get out, not the water. Brent Greenwood, head coach of the Adrian College men's and women's golf team, coming up next here on the ACL Access Show at Frickers in Adrian on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Cheer on the Bulldogs softball team during their doubleheaders Thursday at 5 and 7 p.m. and Saturday at 1 and 3, or the Bulldog baseball team Friday at 3 and 5.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit adrianbulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Cheer on the Bulldogs softball team during their doubleheaders Thursday at 5 and 7 p.m. and Saturday at 1 and 3, or the Bulldog baseball team Friday at 3 and 5.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit adrianbulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
On the ACL Access Show, talking golf, the only sport I can somewhat play based on our other two interviews. Baseball's done for me. Track and field never happened. I can honestly say that. So we are talking golf with the head men's and women's golf coach at Adrian College, already in his fourth season, Brent Greenwood. How does that sound, fourth year?
I know. It's flown by, I can tell you that. The years just flip over to the next, it seems like.
Yeah, there's a song about that. The years just keep on coming and they don't stop. Yeah,
100%.
Well, one season in the books for the women's side. This was a group that a couple years ago made some history, and then they've been kind of chasing it for the last couple, and they've been close, but they've, you know, hit some bumps. That season's done. I know there's a lot that goes into a season, and it's long, and I have my reservations about the split season. I don't know how you feel about it, but the women had ground to make up in the spring final, and it just turned out to be too much of a lead to come back on.
Yeah, the schedule, I have my thoughts on our schedule as well.
Okay. I
think
I can say them. I don't know if you can.
No, absolutely. I think our conference schedule, like with having cumulative six rounds, four in the fall, two in the spring, like I don't know that it necessarily gets your best or hottest team to the national tournament.
Yeah.
I don't know if you looked at the standings from this last weekend, but basically Trine gained 27 shots, AKA beat St. Mary's by 27 shots, and is not the team that's going to represent the conference. And
yeah,
it's different for sure, but no, the girls played well. I mean, from the year that we won it 2 years ago, we are it's only two average shots per round. So 12 shots different than that season, which tells you the conference has gotten a lot better, which is great. You know, I mean, that's great, because hopefully then we garner some, you know, national respect. But, no, it was day one was tough. It was 30-mile-an-hour winds consistent. And then day two we played a lot better. It was much more calm, sunny. It was a nice day. But day one was, yeah, it was a battle out there.
And, you know, we had Sarah on the show last week or 2 weeks ago, and she has a lot going on. she's a busy woman, things around campus and with the team. But that class gave this program something special and something to build on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, prior to that class coming to Adrian College, they were, I mean, I think the highest they'd finished prior to them coming in was sixth. And that class went third, first, second, and then this year third. So, yeah, I mean, they've done really well. I mean, and all good people, super successful. They're all in majors that are academically way too smart for myself, which I think played a part in you know, maybe not quite developing the way that we had hoped, right? You know, they got, like you said, they got busy. They've got other activities going on. But I think that's also going to get them into, a couple of them are looking to go into med school and right. You know, start careers.
They
so,
are student
yeah,
athletes.
100%. They're setting themselves up for their careers, absolutely. Yeah.
And I was talking with, I forget if it was, I think it was the track and field guys. That's the thing about Adrian. You can come here and compete in the sport and have a shot to win a national title, and you can focus on your studies. And if you do other extracurriculars, you have that ability. It's not like you go to D1 or competitive D2. They expect you at practice. They don't care about this other thing that's going on, you know, unless it's class, and they care about that too.
So yeah,
that's Division III for you.
100%. No, and I think that's what's great about it, though. I really do. You know, it's like when you have that kid that's a really good athlete but also is really focused on their career path, it's like Adrian's a great spot for you. Yeah, it's not a full-time job with your sport, right? We expect you to be there. We expect you to be locked in when you're there, but also understand that there's other things going on top of it.
In your fourth season with these golf programs, they're all your recruits right at this point. I don't know if you have any holdovers. This program getting to where you want it to be, how's the, you know, did that championship help with recruiting? Are you building what you want to see here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're definitely a lot deeper than we were before. And I think, like, by getting your own kids, right, you're getting kids that you want that have that drive, have that same passion that you do. So, you know, when I took over, it was probably about 50-50 whether kids really were focused on, you know, golf and caring about the sure. game, right? And now we're probably closer to 90-10, which helps, right? Because yep. golf is a sport, I mean, you're not going to fool it, right? Like, it's like the more reps you put in, the more balls you hit, the yep. more putts you hit, the better at the game you are. And that's true for every sport, but we're unique where you can do it on your own. So it's
yeah,
like,
and you're expected to do
it on
your own.
And you're expected to do it on your own. Absolutely. Like, I know it sounds silly, but it's like our best players are typically the ones that hit the most golf balls. And then you would think, yeah, that makes sense.
You just
but,
made a lot of our listeners
right,
angry.
Right. It's like the more you practice, the better you're going to be.
All right. So women's team in the books for this year. Good run at the end. Finished third in the spring final. Third overall.
Yep.
Two.
Yep.
Okay, so things to build off of there. I'm not sure what you can talk about or where the recruiting is because you got a split season and when does high school play and things like that. What do you have coming up in terms of, you know, people coming into that program?
Yeah, we've got two young ladies that are going to come in, and I didn't go, you know, too heavy on the women's side recruiting because we have a lot of returners, even
okay.
though we graduate four. We have 12 returners, so it's going to be fun next fall. There's going to be a lot of people that haven't gotten as much experience as they probably should have at this point because the four seniors graduating, I don't know if you know this, have played every single tournament round in their 4 years. So,
wow.
Yeah, I think it was 84 rounds in 4 years that they played. So, you know, we've got some juniors that are going to be seniors. We've got a couple sophomores that are going to be juniors that, you know, they've gotten some JV experience, but it's going to be fun next fall because they're going to go right into the thick of it. And I think they're ready. You know, they've put in the work behind the scenes, you know, haven't gotten the notoriety because they haven't been in the lineup. But I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised when they see those scores posted in the fall.
So I give both of those groups credit, the seniors for holding themselves to that standard and playing every round every season, but then I give credit to the juniors and sophomores who are knocking on the door, but sticking with it. Like, I think in this age of college athletics, you either leave or you quit. Like, I'm not playing, I'm going. But that's not the culture you have.
No, 100%. Yeah, I mean, a lot of credit goes out to the ones, especially the ones that don't play, right? You know, they've been waiting for their opportunity, and that's why I say the fall is going to be really fun because, you know, and it's not the seniors' fault, but they almost became numb to the fact that they were traveling to all these places and experiencing all these different tournaments because they'd done it for 4 years, right?
Right.
Whereas the younger crew, they're going to get their time and get a chance this fall and you know, just be really excited because they haven't been to all of these, you know, fancy tournaments on fancy golf courses. And I mean, between the two sides, I think it was like 6 or 7 different states, which, yeah, I mean, it gets a little crazy, but.
Talking of Adrian College Golf with Brent Greenwood, the fourth year head coach, we'll just talk about these two and then switch to the men's team. Sarah Bevington mentioned her first team all conference and then Lauren Reed earning second team. And, you know, when you place third, I don't know if you get as many votes or opportunities to get people on that stage, but it's nice when you get two out of, you know, the St. Mary's and the Trine who finished 1 and 2.
Yeah, the nice thing with golf is it's actually all strokes. It's all statistically.
Oh, really?
Yes. So it's
finally, right?
It's the top six. So the lowest six scores are in the first team, and then the lowest next six are second out of the 6 cumulative rounds. So
why is that the one thing that makes sense?
It makes so much sense. The ball is very much in their court, and no, they both played really well. I mean
okay.
Sarah was super consistent. Lauren was very consistent. I mean, and in golf, like, realistically, even on the team side, that's how you win. You know, if you can have 4 consistent scores out there, like, that's how you're going to win tournaments and obviously win the conference. So, but no, they both had good years, and, you know, it's nice, you know, nice to obviously bring home some hardware, even if you're not the top team, right?
Right. So when I write the league about your split season, at the bottom I'll put, but I do like the all-conference selections. That's very neat. I'm happy to be wrong about that in my assumption, because I believe all the other sports are nominated.
Yeah, it's like a vote system. No, it's way better with it being statistical.
No kidding. All right, so switching over to the men's side, you competed recently in Illinois, took 12th out of 20 teams, 599, if I remember reading it right. The local kid, Cameron Bozick, led you guys, kind of picking up where he left off in high school, a very good golfer in the area, and, you know, he's kind of stuck with that.
Yeah, no, Illinois was good. Day one, so it was actually on 2 different courses, which that's unique. We don't normally do that. Day one was a wide open 7,200 yard course that, you know, had more of the, like, the heather / marsh kind of area. It was a beautiful day. Played, I would say, honestly, pretty easy for, you know, for that day. Day two was a 6,300 yard kind of, like, country club, undulated tiny greens, which actually played harder statistically than day one, which is funny because it was 900 yards.
Yeah.
But no, they played well. I mean, the field was really solid. Illinois Wesleyan was there. They're number 5 in the country. The number 14 golfer in the country was actually there from their team.
Wow.
He went 8 under on day one for his own ball. He was 8 under through 11 holes, actually.
Oh, then coasted.
And then finished 8 under. But we were all like, just wow.
So, Coach, what's the difference? Is it putting? Is it on the tee box? Or is it just everything?
It's kind of collective. I only saw the guy take, like, 2 swings, but he hits it far. And obviously he must hit it pretty close to the hole because, I mean, making that many birdies and he had 1 eagle, I mean, it was impressive. But, yeah, no, I mean, we had a good turnout. I mean, obviously 12th out of 20, you know, you always want to do, you know, a little bit better than that. But at the same time, statistically, like, stroke-wise, I think it ended up being 606 is what it was, but it was, like, I mean, that's as good as we've played all year. And we're currently 1 guy down. Christian Long actually is recovering from ACL surgery. So we've got a junior that's not in the lineup that was in the lineup in the fall. So to shoot 606 without him, you know, we traveled. So the 6 guys that went, we traveled a senior. And then it was freshman, sophomore, freshman, sophomore, freshman. So it's like, yeah, I mean, when you're traveling that young of a group, I mean, to shoot, you know, something in the low 600s is definitely an achievement for sure.
You kind of scared me a little bit. He hurt his me playing golf?
No.
All right, doing something.
You
don't have to tell me.
No, it's very much radio appropriate.
Okay.
He was playing flag football this fall with actually most of our team.
Oh, really?
Yeah, out in Docking Stadium, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Okay, well,
yeah.
You learned,
thankfully,
right?
It was after the fall, so he at least got to play all of the fall.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, as long as you have fun, right?
Yeah.
And
no,
recovery's
absolutely
going well?
Yes.
Okay.
He's up to hitting 7-iron, so he'll be back for the fall. He'll be ready to go.
Okay. So all of our golf fans listening were like, oh, good, it wasn't a golf
game. No.
I'm still safe.
Yep.
Don't want to be tearing ACLs, getting out of bunkers.
No,
or anything like
no.
That. All right. So now you can give Mike Pranger a hard time. It says the men's season is coming to an end. I say if you have a tournament coming up, you still have a shot. Now, you need things to happen, but you have the MIAA final coming up in Coldwater, hosted by Trine. They couldn't find a golf course in Indiana. I thought they had a course down there.
Yeah, it has to be at a neutral site, so it can't be at your home course. And then Glendaren Hills is kind of their, I'd call it their second home. So I think it was kind of a gray area where they couldn't do it there either. So I think that's why they chose Bella Vista. But yeah, no, still got a shot. I mean, we're I think 40 shots out of first. You know, definitely. I mean, you got 36 holes to play, right? Got to go out there and fight and claw through it. And typically, we've played well in the spring. Like, we won the spring final last year for the men. You know, beat every team in the field. So I mean, that's our goal: go out there and do that again. And we're closer to third and second as well. So you know, maybe first ends up being out of reach, but if we can claw back and, you know, gain a position or two, that would be great and kind of build off of it going into the fall.
So currently, is fifth best good enough for all conference, or is it sixth?
Yeah, so fifth best would be in first team all the way out to sixth.
Okay.
And then 7 through 12 would be second team.
All right,
yep.
So looking, Cameron is currently an all-MIAA golfer, 72.75 average. These years are squishing together, kind of like for you, Coach. What grade is he in now?
He's a sophomore.
I was going to say, he's still an underclass.
Yep, he's a sophomore.
I mean,
yep.
That's impressive. And you mentioned the other underclassmen you have on your team. Are you just full of freshmen and sophomores, or are they beating out seniors and juniors?
Definitely heavier on the freshman sophomore side. The senior class is actually the only class that I didn't recruit. I took over, like, as they started school, actually.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right.
They're not technically mine, but I definitely
claim them. Yeah,
I definitely claim them. But yeah, definitely heavier on the freshman sophomore side. Yeah, Cam's sitting in a good spot, and we've got a couple guys. Carter Klawan, he's a freshman. He's sitting just outside of second team, and then Christian Long, I think, is technically in second team, but unfortunately, with not playing these final two rounds, he's not going to be eligible.
Okay,
even though his average might be there. But the conference, just like the women's side, the conference has gotten a lot better. I mean, my first year, off the top of my head, the first year I was here for golf, I think 304 for the six rounds won it. And we're currently at 300.25 for four rounds, and we're in fourth.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, the conference has gotten a lot better. I mean, even like you said, 72.75. Like,
is fifth best.
Like, normally that's like potentially winning the conference, and right now he's right on that line of first and second team. So conference has gotten a lot better, and I mean, that's great, right? You want the national recognition, and you know, then that's when you start to get at large teams in, and that's always an exciting time, you know, getting people into the postseason.
Yeah, talking to Adrian College Golf with their coach Greeny. Everyone calls you Greeny. They're gonna be like, who's Brent?
Yeah.
it's Greeny, right? Yeah. It's not like track and field where you can have individuals qualify, is that correct? It's all just team, or can individuals go to some national event?
So individuals can qualify. It's actually a different number for each gender. I want to say there's 9 individuals for the entire country.
Okay.
So realistically, not on those, I think it's 34 teams is what it is. So they can't be on those teams.
Sure.
But realistically, you got to be in the top, I would say, 75 golfers in the country, which not impossible by any means, but you definitely got to play really well, you know, for the entire year to kind of have a chance, right? And the thing that gets us also a lot of times is some of the schools that are really good at golf aren't in a conference, or if they are, don't win their conference AQ.
Oh,
so on the women's side, last year, the three at-large bids for the women's side were seeds 1, 2, and 3 because they didn't win their conference. Because, like, the four seed won the conference.
Yeah, it's like the basketball tournament, right, where some Cinderella in the conference takes a bid, and then, you're not going to give this team the
– Right.
Yeah. D3 golf, is that more of a nationwide thing, or talking with the track and field guys, you know, D3 Wisconsin, like the Midwest is bigger for that. Is golf really coast to coast for D3, or is it kind of?
I would say there's kind of a hot spot out in California, like the conference that has Redlands and Pomona Pitzer. That conference is really good.
Okay.
There's some schools kind of down in the Alabama, Mississippi area that are really good. You know, and then you got your little pocket up here, though. You know, your Illinois Wesleyan, your Denison, your Carnegie Mellon is really good.
Okay.
You know, so it is kind of all over the place, I would say.
Okay.
A lot of the high academic schools are really good, which makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Golf, I feel like, kind of goes hand in hand with that.
I bet some of the MIAAs, too.
Yep, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. All right, so we are chasing, let's see, who are we chasing for this conference tournament?
Calvin, Hope, and Trine.
Calvin, Hope, Trine.
Hope, Trine, Calvin, Adrian.
Okay. What, as a coach, would make you happy coming out of this championship? Aside from winning it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I would say, you know, just winning the two-day, right? Because if you win the two-day, theoretically, you're gaining shots on everyone. Now, will it be enough? We'll see at the end of the day. But I don't know what the weather looks like next week. But, like, last year we had some iffy weather, and I feel like that's when we actually play to our advantage. Honestly, that plays to our advantage. Like, when it's not so nice outside, we typically shoot the same number as if it's beautiful outside. And other teams aren't that way. Yeah, other teams aren't that way. You know, other teams, when it's really nice outside, are going extremely low. And when it's not, are going high. And it's like we kind of just – which I think that's a testament, though, to Adrian College, right? It's like the blue-collar dogs, right? Like that's who we are, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're – I wouldn't say we're a country club, you know, college. Like that's not who we are.
Right.
And that's not who I have, right? Like I think you know me well enough. Like not who I am either, right? Like –
no, don't pretend to be something you're not.
Nope, we'll go grind it out.
We'll shoot a 75, whether there's crazy wind and rain or if it's 75 and sunny.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, congratulations on the women's season. Good luck to the men coming up. They'll be up in Coldwater. Is it May 7th and 8th? Those dates sound familiar.
Yep. No, it's 7th and 8th. The next Wednesday and Thursday. Yep.
All right. Awesome. Well, good to catch up, Coach. Appreciate the time. Oh, geez. Let's see. There's something else I have to talk to you about. Adrian College Athletic Golf Outing Committee. You're the head of that?
Oh, yeah. Golf outing. June 6th.
All right. Do you want people to email you? Can I give you your email?
Yeah, I don't care.
All right. Greenwood@adrian.edu.
Yeah, if you want to play.
Maybe I'll be emailing you.
We've got, I think, we're at 21 or 22 teams, so we got room for probably about 10 teams.
All right. Nice.
Yeah, 6625 at Tecumseh Golf Club.
Awesome. I'll keep that date open just in case you need someone to fill in.
Absolutely.
All right, Coach, good to talk to you, and good luck coming up.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'd like to once again thank Coach Brent Greenwood with the Adrian College Golf Teams, also Jack Boyke, David Kedger with the baseball squad, and Cameron Overmeyer and Asher Kuzno with the track and field team. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in late. We got started when the show normally ends, but that's okay. We're doing as much local content as we can. So we had St. Sports Weekly moving up from 3 to 4. Then we had Adrian Tecumseh High School Baseball from 4 until, I don't know, about 8 o'clock, 7:55. And then everyone here on the ACL Access Show, Josiah Durrell with ACTV, Stacy Mitchell with our sales team, Tara, a wonderful server here at Frickers, and Adrian, I don't need you right now. I'm thanking you on the show. She does a great job, just like everyone else here at Frickers, the ACL Access Show. Josh Mitchell back in our studios. I'm Ian Wentz, and so long on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
That's a wrap for today's episode of AC All Access. We hope you enjoyed this exclusive look behind the scenes of Adrian College Athletics. Join us next Thursday at Frickers and Adrian. Check out upcoming Adrian College events at adrianbulldogs.com.
The best in regional sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN HD2, W243AD Adrian, 96.5 The Cave.